At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Oh So Clean, Not So Mean, Ready to Do What Everybody Has Never Seen. Yeah, episode 15. Yeah. All right, wait, I got to put the glasses on. Let me try that again. I'll do it. We're going to roll. Episode 15. Yeah, we're going to run wild today. Okay, that's it. I'm done. Watch it, man. I'm tired of it. My voice hurts. My throat hurts so bad. What's it called? Yeah, I'm not sick or anything like that. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Nerd Badge Podcast. Woo! Episode 15. We got a great show today. It's all dudes.
Yes, sir.
We're going to have a great time. We're going to talk about some topics. I got a very special guest today. We're going to run down the list like we always do. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Steve in person, also known as Mike Quinn in some circles. As you notice, the belts are not here today because I ran around New York all day today and I was not carrying a bag full of championships around all day. That was not happening. So we'll be back for our next episode. The sub boss to the final episode to Comic-Con, which is always our big finale. Ladies and gentlemen, first, my co-host for today, the guy, the man, the legend, the Atiba of Prince Atiba.
Woo!
Round of applause.
And to his right, somebody I'm really happy that is actually here today. A wrestler that is coming up on the Northeast scene that everyone needs to start paying attention to. He puts on quality matches. I love watching his matches in the back. Not just to, like, oh, you know, let me see what he's doing or whatever. But, like, I am actually entertained by him. So, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for a good man. Student of the game coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, Isaac Wayne.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. I
really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yo, he's like literally also too like the best dressed guy in any locker room. Like he comes in, yo, it's like just swag, bro.
That's how you got to be all the time. Listen, exactly. Presentation is key.
Exactly. And he looks great. He wrestles great, bro. It's an awesome thing. Keep it up. No, don't like me just show up in shorts and jeans anymore. I think that's like our motto. It's like, no, I can't show up. Like, why are you dressed like that? Like, I just.
Shouldn't be like that all the time. You always
I know. I know.
Everywhere you go.
I know, but I'm getting booked anyway, so.
That's very true.
But yeah, I see you in person. Oh, yeah, nice to meet you. Oh, I heard a lot about stuff. The Manifest Destiny of Ohio, remember that? Yeah. So what happened was in Johnny's, like, it was basically, like, I'm all sweaty and everything like that, and then, like, oh, we're doing a show out in, like Philly and Jersey, whatever. Okay, sure. And then it was just, like, do-do-do-do-do. I go to Philly and Jersey, and it was like, hey, we're doing a show out here in Pittsburgh. Do-do-do-do-do. Hey, we're doing a show over here in Columbus. Do-do-do-do-do. We're doing a show up here. Do-do-do-do-do. And it just kept going like that, and that's why I kept on getting bookings
for making his way cross-country.
That was Manifest Destiny.
Your personality just outshines everything else, so you don't really need to, you know, present yourself a certain way, because it's kind of like everybody knows
who you are. It's the mustache, that's what it is.
Yeah, that too. But everybody knows who you are. They know your work. Yeah. They know that you're going to go out there and do what you do. So,
but back when like I first started, it was always just like, you know, like handshake deal, show up, and that was it. And I was like, oh, dear God, please let that guy like not no show or something like that.
Look, I'm still in the hot dog and handshake era of my wrestling time too, so it's all good.
Stop doing that. Pay me. So, today we have a great episode planned. We got a lot of topics to talk about normally. But like, I think we're really laser focused on a couple of things. Some things that just came out recently, which are really fun, that we all saw within the past like 3 days. Wolverine the game.
Yes.
Oh my God.
By Insomniac.
Insane. I've been waiting for another game to come out, like X-Men Origins, the original one that came out, it looked exactly like that. As soon as I saw the trailer, I was like, this is exactly what we need.
And the crazy part is, like, this, like, leak, remember the leak footage came out, like, damn near during COVID?
Yeah. Oh, with him at the bar.
Yeah, at the bar and everything like that. I was like, I thought they, like, dropped this project or something, you know? I was like, all right, I guess we're not getting Wolverine. They put him back on ice, you know, whatever. And then all of a sudden, he popped up yesterday or 2 days ago. I'm like...
No way they're dropping that.
Bro, the best part is, like, it's actually not like, you know, you play a game with Wolverine, he slashes somebody, and they're just like, right afterwards. Bro, these people get, like, chopped up.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm hoping it's not like, oh, what was in the game? Infamous. Remember Infamous? Like, where you, like, shocked people and everything like that, and then, like, it was, like, a finisher move. Uh-huh. I hope it's literally just, like, as soon as you take a swing at somebody, like, they're just chopped up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he just popped that claw through the dude's face. I was like, okay, I can get down with this.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be like that with, like, the jobber characters. The one hit, one kill type
characters. There's going to be people with...
The bosses are going to be different.
Oh, yeah. You're going to fight Sabretooth. It'll be great if, like,
Omega
it grows
Red
back.
I've seen Omega Red, Red trailer.
Yeah, because he has, like, the carbonite armor, so, like, that'll be nice if he blocks it,
healing,
you know?
Factor or something like that.
Yeah, they showed the Sentinel in the trailer.
The Sentinel.
Oh, I didn't watch that.
Yeah, he's, like, built into, like, a... He's, like, collapsed or something like that inside of a wall or something.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he looks really good. So I wonder, too, if we're going to get, like... Remember how... I don't know if you guys remember this. The Deadpool game.
Yes,
I do.
So remember when, like, you would get, like, cameos of everybody, Rogue and everybody, and then he's, like, running around? My favorite thing was, like, when he was slapping Wolverine. So, like, I think we might get that. Like, is it going to be X-Men in it? I think so.
They said there's going to be some surprise characters in
there. Good. Sabretooth has to pop up. I want it.
Of course.
Oh,
I mean, that depends with the whole IP situation, because you know how it goes.
So we'll see
what happens from there.
I mean, it looks like he has a character costume from Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah.
So are we going to get Deadpool in this? That's one thing I thought. I was like, how great would it be?
That,
like,
would be maybe DLC, probably.
That's what
they
I'm thinking.
Make money off of Deadpool, so that'd be DLC.
Imagine, like, you're just playing around, and like, here's something fun. Like, I'm thinking, like, right, if you have, like, Wolverine, you're playing the game, whatever, but then you play as Deadpool, and it mimics the gameplay that you made, and then, like, you can help Wolverine out, but you don't know it yet. You know, like, something really, like, he's on the outside fringe of it, or something like that, and, like, he just gives you health at one-ups or something like that. Like, the one-ups are his face or something. You know, just something out of character, fourth wall-ish, for him to come out with, I think would be absolutely hysterical. I would love... I always love this, how him and Storm are always, like, banging, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah, that's right.
That'd be funny, just to have a clip, like, he wakes up, he's, like, Storm's in the bed or whatever, you know? Like,
it would be kind of cool if you had, like, you see how in God of War, how Kratos has Mimir on his side? And let's say if you had Deadpool severed head as, like...
Yeah,
kind of if like you had, like,
that'd be great. Deadhead.
Headpool.
That would be great because he just has, like, little propeller. Like, he just flies around.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He has the beanie.
And it is going to be linear. It's not going to be open world, which I'm really happy about because a lot of people said, like, that would be kind of a waste of a game if they made it like Spider-Man. I was like, I mean, you can make some aspects of the game, like, open world. Like,
Wolverine's in so many different environments. Because they mentioned Japan and everywhere else, like Madripoor, Genosha.
Hopefully, they'll let you use the motorcycle.
That'd be sick.
With that too, that would be cool.
That'd be great if you could do, like, online missions and stuff like that, like stealth missions, and you gotta, like break out of places. Remember that really awful Avengers game that came out? The team up one where you had like
oh, by a square or
whatever. Where like it was like the acid trip colors of every time. Like it was so hard to play because, like, they would be like everything's purple lights and you're like, okay, I just punch this guy 5 times with the Hulk, and he just gets up and shoots you, and you're dead. Like, it was such a Bauer. It was like, what was it, like, Destiny? It was like Destiny, where they, like, the armaments and everything.
I actually kind of like that game. It's just so repetitive.
Talking about. It just increased the level hardage and experience, if you would, and I didn't like that because you just... How should I say it the right way? It's like it was so visually over the top. Because, like, those colors were just absolutely crazy.
Yeah, there was a lot of purple in there for some reason.
There was a lot of purple. Yeah,
was that an inhuman?
Saturated.
Was that part of inhuman thing? Was that part of mist?
No, it was just the weapons. The weapons that the guys had, they would, like, light up the whole entire screen. And you're like, all right, where the hell am I? You know?
Only good thing about that was, like, all of the DLC was free.
Oh, yeah. They dropped characters and stories. Yeah, they dropped everything. They're like, this is not going to last
like a
long.
You know what it is, too? Ever since the Batman Arkham series originally came out, there have been so many other superhero games after that that have tried to replicate the same essence that had in terms of combat and story and things like that, and very few have gotten it right.
Yeah. And I think that studio went over the top because they had a good plan. I enjoyed Story Mode with Camilla Khan. And like they gave MODOK a really good, legitimate thing.
It also felt like it should have been an X-Men game.
It should have been an X-Men game.
If you look at all this stuff, they have the Harm Room, which is like the Danger Room.
Yeah, I was like,
Kamala, and the humans kind of were like in a place of mutants because everyone hated them.
Yeah.
Kamala Khan was in like the Jubilee role.
Yeah, she was absolutely, now that you think about that, it was such a good story, too.
Yeah.
And then they opened it up, and it was just like...
The actual, like, multiplayer combat was, like, not all that great.
Yeah. But you can always recycle game mechanics. For example, I believe it was Def Jam Vendetta. That was originally supposed to be a WCW game.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
But then they winded up... I don't remember
exactly. The licensing got screwed up. Yeah.
It was around the time WB bought them, so they couldn't make it
anymore. Yeah, so that's what happened. Like, WCW got bought out, and they were like, well, we're not doing this because we don't know.
Well, we need to do a wrestling game.
Yeah,
And then they just gave it to Def Jam, and...
It was supposed to be like NWO versus NWO or something.
Yeah, it was
like
gonna be Mayhem 2.
Yes, there you go.
For PS2.
Yeah, but it was supposed to be Wolfpack versus the
I guess that was gonna be the theme of it.
Yeah, because I remember hearing about the Mayhem, but I forgot that they were gonna do the whole thing where it's like, oh, we're gonna make NW, it was supposed to be NWO versus what's called, and WCW is gonna be in the background a little bit, but like they were supposed to be the heroes of the game, obviously. Yeah. So Gang. what else is going on? Movies, obviously. I mean, they're just dropping stuff on freaking...
Mortal Kombat got pushed back.
I know.
It was supposed to come out next month.
I know. And I'm like, something happened.
May or something like that, I think.
No, not that far.
It's May. I think it's May.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like maybe December or something like that.
What was the reason for it getting pushed?
They didn't say.
So I'm thinking
Warner Brothers is trying to say, oh, we think we can maximize profits in May. That might be part of the reason because
I think
there's no competition really because there's no Marvel movie coming out in May. Yeah. And it usually is.
Yeah.
So like there's kind of an open space.
Yeah.
Now it's come out the same year as Street Fighter, which may be god awful.
Which,
you think so?
I did see what Ken looked like and he looked pretty okay.
Ken looked great. I saw what, what's it called, looked like too. They showed somebody else.
Did we see what Akuma looked like?
No. They're keeping that on the clock and key.
Here's what I don't like. You know how people say Roman Reigns, Jason Momoa kind of look alike?
Yeah.
They should have just switched characters because why not give Akuma the guy that has more acting experience and then give Blanca the guy with less acting
experience? Exactly, yeah.
Switch him.
But here's the thing, like, he can do the brooding, like, oh, I'm gonna kill you. You will find out what darkness is.
Did you see the guy playing Bison?
Yeah, it's the guy from freaking all the Batman movies.
Yeah, one that Harvey Dent was gonna kill.
Yes.
But he looks like they're trying to go for a Raul Julia look. The skinny dude with the beady eyes. Yeah. I was like, they're trying to. So that's why I'm hoping they don't make it too cheesy.
I don't know if they're gonna make it cheesy, but I think they're gonna miss the mark on characters. They should have gotten somebody better.
Schultz is gonna be Dan.
Yeah,
Andrew Schultz. Yeah. 50 Cent is Balrog.
That's who it was. Did you see the picture of him?
He looked more like Tyson.
Oh my God. He looks amazing.
But do you know who I wanted to play Balrog?
Who?
Michael J. White. Do you want to know why? Oh. Michael J. White played Tyson in the movie back then. And Balrog's based off of Tyson.
Oh, man.
And he has martial arts experience. Yeah.
Or what if you actually got Mike Tyson to play him?
They could have done that if you gave him.
But then he would have like really punched somebody.
If you gave him like his role in Remember the Street Fighter anime movie, we just wore a suit the whole time.
Yeah.
They could have given Tyson that role.
Yeah.
Well, he's just like an enforcer.
Exactly. Right. But like, I mean.
The dude playing Vega is like a singer, musician.
Yeah, he's like a DJ or something like that.
And he wears a mask normally.
Yeah, and I'm like, that was dumb. You could have fit literally.
There's lots of people that could
use. I mean, there's so much things you could have done. You could use MMA fighters for that.
He's the second musician to play Vega. Remember Legend of Chun-Li? Taboo from Black Eyed Peas
Yep. I was like, really? It's not as bad. They just gave that role to a musician. They're trying to get like the popularity people to come in.
And then Cody's Guile, I don't know.
I remember.
Look, here's the thing, right?
I like
story
it.
That he put up of like you couldn't with see
the,
his face
with the shadow of the hair. The
shadow,
yeah.
Here's the thing, right? Cody has blonde hair and dresses in suits, right?
Yeah.
There was a guy in Street Fighter, blonde hair, dressed in suits, and the character's name is Cody.
Yeah.
Have him play that guy
now.
Cody, who's the mayor of Metro City, former Final Fight character.
That's what I'm saying. When he went to jail, I think it would have been great if he was the jail character. I thought it'd been great,
and then becomes mayor and like the sequel is up to like.
Yeah. He was like,
it seems like it was a fan cast. You know what it is?
It was a fan cast.
It seems like nobody auditioned. They said, oh, this person's in talks. And then all of a sudden they got the role.
Yeah, it's like, hey, listen, I heard you're auditioning for Guile. You got it. Okay, thank you. Like, I'll see you guys on set.
It seems like I casted this in high school.
Exactly. It's like a bunch of us.
Everyone's first choice. Sorry, go ahead.
Ooh, 50 Cent. Yeah. You know, like, it was just really...
They were casting for the names at that point.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, they're trying to get names because I feel like the script is not going to be as strong. The only person I don't know is Chung Lee. That's the only one.
And she might end up being the best one.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm like...
I didn't know the guy playing Ken, though.
Yo, the guy playing Ken, he was in... the new DC movie that just came out, Black Adam. He was
Who was he in Black Adam?
He was what's it called? The kid who grows big and tall.
That's him?
That's him. Yeah.
Oh wow.
That's him. So I was like, all right.
I know the dude playing Ryu's from what? Was it a show or a movie? Is Warrior or something like that?
I think he's the guy who played Storm Shadow.
That's him?
I'm not too sure. Might be. I'm not too sure. I got to look into that. We got to...
Because the two of them, I thought they looked okay.
They look great. Yeah, they looked...
Word on Sagat. Never mentioned anything about
Sagat. That's the thing. I think Sagat's going to be like a hidden character, kind of like how Reptile was.
Oh,
and then he's just going to walk out and you're going to have somebody really great playing him. So I feel like they just drop all these name characters, you know, all these characters playing people, stars playing characters.
And then Honda's not fat because he's a Japanese wrestler playing Honda. But dude from like New Japan.
Yeah, usually the thing is though, whenever they have movies coming out and you see that the cast is like a pretty full lineup, that means that they probably spent the majority of their budget more on
the casting than the script.
Casting than the script.
Yeah.
Yes.
We talked about this. Remember how I said like if you had like the picture for like I used a movie Cloverfield, you just see the Statue of Liberty all scratched up. Mm-hmm. That's gonna make people go, oh, what the hell is this? Mm-hmm. But they're not relying on star power. If you see Kevin Costner, Julia Roberts, that's like, oh, we're trying to get people in with the names, and it's a good script, but it's not nothing too crazy. Right. If you see 1,005 names, they're like, this script sucks.
Usually, yeah, because I always hate like ensemble.
Yeah, films. I hate ensemble movies. Yeah,
as long as you put somebody with some kind of name value in a lead role, and at least like the rest of them can be, you grab them from wherever, it can still be as good quality if you were to put the majority of your resources into what really matters.
Yeah, like what they basically do with most superhero movies, it's like you have two names and everybody else is kind of like.
I want to see 50 Cent doing a fight scene. That's what I want to see.
He's probably gonna get jobbed out like early.
Exactly. He's gonna be like, I wonder.
Oh wait, you know who's in there? There's a Street Fighter 1 character in there, so he's probably gonna get killed.
Birdie?
There's a character named Joe.
The basketball player?
No, he's just he's a kickboxer in Street Fighter 1.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I'm thinking Joe there's like a basketball player or something like that.
He's the guy that breaks open the wall in Street Fighter
1. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Mm. Or the guy who punches the other guy out in the opening for Street Fighter 2.
See, now I'm just sad about... You said Mortal Kombat, dude. I didn't know it got pushed back that far.
Yes, it did.
Ugh.
I didn't have high hopes for that either, but like...
But, dude, I mean, like, I'm scared now. Like, that... Yeah. I mean, when they had freaking, what's called the first one, with Cole, it was a disaster.
They gotta just kill him off.
They have to kill him off in the beginning of the movie, because I'm like, Jesus, man, this is just... Hopefully, he just gets turned into Scorpion. He becomes like a new...
Like a body for him or something?
Yeah, something like that.
All of the characters they could have used, they just make one of them. I was like, he could have been so many other guys.
Striker, he could have been Johnny Cage.
He could have been like Takeda.
Yeah, Takeda. He could have been so many people.
He could have been Sub-Zero's younger brother, the younger one.
He could have been, Kwai Lang. Yeah. He could have been anybody, but they just
made up a character.
I was like, dude, and the best part was, like, there's one scene, like, I talked about this in season one where... The movie pissed me off because you could tell like the editing didn't give a damn. There's a scene where all they're riding on horseback, whatever, and then you see Melina walking on foot, and then she's on horseback. It's something crazy like that. It's not
that
extreme. She must
have dropped her side. And
yeah, really, it's like really bad, dude. Like, they're on different sides or something like that. I can't remember what it was. It's on season one. Oh my God, dude, it was horrible. Like, they did not care about that movie.
It's like the first 11 minutes that they released online for free. Yeah. That was the best part. Scorpion, Sub-Zero's origin.
I was like,
if the rest of the movie is just this.
They can't screw it up. And like, the inner child in me is like, oh yeah, there's nothing they could do wrong here. Oh man, was I wrong, dude. Like, they just...
Remember how they got their powers with the tattoos?
Oh, the tattoos? I was like, this is
Which
awful.
Is Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Remember they had the tattoos that fly up?
Moana? Moana's the only one that gets powers from their tattoos.
Here's my question, right? Remember how Jax's power was his robot arms?
But how do you get...
What would his power be had he kept his arms?
Exactly, right? He would have had like robot fingernails or something. Like, I just... the whole movie was chaos. And at the end, it was like, oh, we're going to do the tournament. And like...
It's like, oh, you mean it didn't happen?
What? Like, you guys didn't fight. Like, you guys just started killing each other. Like,
and they
that
completely just killed Goro.
Oh, dear. Yeah, they killed Goro. That was horrible. Oh, his... What was his power again? He had the boas. He had the batons.
They say his power was plot armor. Because remember when Goro was beating him, he gets armor around.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, dude.
So he said it's literal plot armor.
I can imagine someone just making this movie script and going like, so then like shield comes around him, right, man? Like, oh, you know, it's just, bro. And what's it called? John Tobias freaking signed off on it, too.
Oh,
I was like, dude, did they just like Krusty the Clown you? Did they just drop like a giant thing of like, you know, like, cash in a truck
but then
to your
again,
house.
Tobias, he's not with them anymore anyway.
Yeah, he is.
No, not Tobias.
But Ed Boon, I'm sorry.
Oh, Ed
Boon
signed off
on I'm sorry. Yeah, oh, Ed Boon's oh. Ed Boon's still there. John Tobias left. Boon Tobias is Noob side by backwards, yes. By the way.
Who's going to be in this new movie?
Yeah, and I was like, are we going to get another 15-minute clip of them fighting and be like, all right, here, please see this movie.
Is Quan Chi in it or no?
I think he might be. Okay. I think we might get subtly, if they do it right, Quan Chi, Shang Tsung dies. I mean, I'm not Shang Tsung. Shao Kahn dies, and then Quan Chi is really the one pulling the strings.
And it leads to...
and he saves Shinnok or something? Yeah, Shinnok, like the overlord background image of Shinnok or something like that. I think that'd be great because, I mean, they kind of screwed it up. But the thing was, remember in the second movie, Annihilation, where they were talking about, like, Shao Kahn's dad?
Yeah, Shinnok was his dad, and him and Raiden were brothers.
Yeah. But here's the crazy part. Do you remember in the game they talk about his dad?
Who, Shao Kahn's
dad? Yeah, in like the newer one, in Mortal Kombat 1, they talk about like his dad. And I'm like,
oh, so that's a different universe. So maybe they are going to do it.
So I was like, wait a minute. This is in the game now. Does that mean that's canon? Like, So anyway, moving along. The topic today is going to be a good old fashioned wrestling fest. So Monday Night Raw was pretty good. I liked it.
What happened on there? Oh, yes, I do remember.
Yeah, Cody and Seth were doing the freaking, what's it called, the Crown Jewel in Perth, Australia, which is, I like the concept of it.
How do you feel about the ring?
See, I don't like the ring, though.
But it should be a belt.
I like the concept of it, but honestly, it should not be a single
trophy.
No. It should be just bragging rights. And I think that is one of the greatest pay-per-views that they had because, like, some people like SmackDown, some people caught Raw, some people could only watch SmackDown, some people could only watch Raw. But the thing to me was that when you have this collision between two champions, one champion has to lose. And I'm not a fan of that. And it's kind of like you're just digging a hole, you know?
Uh-huh.
And like, oh, the winner becomes the Crown Jewel champion. And they don't talk about it until like literally.
I feel like the way that they did last year's, they pulled it off pretty well with Cody and Gunther and the finish and the way that they went into it and everything. Yeah. I feel like it still kept Gunther, you know?
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, how do you sit there and tell me that this championship means the thing to everybody, but yet you don't bring it up until this time this year? That's the only thing I didn't like about it.
Right.
And, I mean, obviously it's going to be a screw finish between them. There's so many different characters on the outside.
That's probably going to win because Cody mentioned that he never beat him before.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, what do we do now? It's like, okay.
But Seth does need this win.
Yeah, he does. He
needs it.
Yeah,
and then maybe it sets up something for War Games. Probably.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, it should be War Games. It should be.
They're going to do the Vision.
Put Brock with the Vision.
Yeah. And now the champ, everyone gets a instead of making an individual ring thing, everybody gets a Crown Jewel championship ring because now you have team versus team.
Yes.
The champions don't have to lose, but you know, you can beat a champion. The champion can get take themselves out, you know, they get hurt or you do that whole dynamic. They fight to the back or something like that, or it comes down to champion versus champion. It's a tag match that gives you the coverage to say, hey, listen, this guy didn't lose clean. You know, like this champion's not better than this champion. This champion just won. And you can sit there and do that. I'm a big opponent of or proponent for saying that it should be this is where it gets crazy, a face champion versus a face champion, so it's more mutual respect to find out who's the better between the two. Not I'm gonna beat you and put your face in the ground and blah blah blah, because now like you just beat that guy, you know, he can't get back to you because you have a title, you know, unless you drop the title, then that guy comes after your title, you know, Money in the Bank. You know, but at the same time, it kind of leads to a dead end door. You know what I mean? A door that leads to nowhere. So
because there's really no developing stories with the Crown Jewel ring or the Crown Jewel championship, because it's just a one-time thing. There's no tournament or anything like that. It's just champion. Yeah. Hey, let's see what happens.
Now,
whoever wins.
Imagine this. You have Seth. You have Breaker. You have Braun. You have like maybe someone else they throw in there, and then you have Cody, you have Randy, you have Jay, you have Jimmy, all of them walking around with rings, right? That makes everybody on that side. Seth wins, right? The whole team has a ring. We are not just the greatest faction. Well, we're not. I'm not just the world champion. I'm also the leader of the
Cody Avengers.
Exactly. It's like we won and beat those guys. My team, Division, is Division. This is Division. We all have rings now. So I think that would be a better way of making it happen. That's just me. I don't own anything in WWE. No one's gonna hire me. But yeah. So I think that was like a good way to have it happen.
Yeah.
One thing that was really funny. Did you guys watch Raw?
Yeah.
So the main event was awesome. I was like, they made that match.
Oh, Asuka and Rhea.
Oh my God, that match was good.
I heard it was very good. I didn't get to see Raw, but I heard it was
Bro,
great.
I don't know how they staged it, but Rhea looked like she got shot in the face with
I did see that.
The mist,
I did
right?
See
bro.
She, yes. Like, she was like Hulk.
Everywhere.
From like the waist up, she like Hulk.
Yeah.
Hulk.
Yeah. I was like, dude, what, like, did the Hulk just come in and just like freaking cut his arm off and start bleeding on people? Yeah, like, bro, I was like, that was, I mean, usually the mist, you see it.
It's just
like,
the face.
I was like, did she just like rub it in herself and like, oh my God. Like, bro, she got like bleached with green.
Yeah, she turned a completely different color.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The whole beat down on Asuka and everything like that. I mean, on EO.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I want to talk about, we'll talk about that later in a little bit, but what's it called? One thing that really kind of like stood out about the whole entire Monday Night Raw is the pacing of it, you know? Like, I felt like it was a good pace. I feel like, you know, I'm not like, you know, work green and blah, 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 but it's like, they did a good job. The show, there was a lot of good matches. You got, I really
like the Jay and LA Knight stuff.
That was a really good match. I was gonna say,
like, where do you think slowly going to the dark side, maybe? Yeah.
What happened?
Where do you think that's gonna flow into?
Oh, it's gonna turn into LA Knight becoming a heel. 100%.
So you think LA Knight's gonna be the one that turns? You don't think they're turning Jay?
Not now,
bro. He's just doing the yeet in the crowd. Everyone goes nuts.
I don't think either one of them is gonna turn heel.
No, I think what's it called is gonna turn heel. I fully think LA Knight's gonna be like,
but like a justified kind of heel.
But I hate that. That's my point. I was gonna say he's like, I've been screwed. I've been screwed, and he's been saying I've been screwed.
So maybe he's gonna be like a Bret Hart heel.
But I think what's gonna happen is he's gonna beat up freaking what's it called?
Jimmy?
He's gonna beat up Jimmy. I think he's just gonna beat up Jimmy. I trust you. Blah 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 blah. It's like, I can trust you, but I can't trust him, and that's your brother. That means I can't trust you. Mm-hmm. Something like that's gonna happen, you know? And it makes sense. And I was like, I've been screwed, so I'm going to screw you. And then every time Jay, like, maybe Money in the Bank or something like that, this might be a little push down the road, maybe Royal Rumble or something, but I see, what's his name, turning heel. One thing I want to talk about now that I can actually bring it up since we got some character stuff. Music in WWE is absolute trash.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God. Bro, man. I'm being dead serious.
Used to be, what was it, Def Rebel at one point?
Dude, I don't even know who.
That's who it was, and they were worse than, like, the CFOs.
I think Def Rebel right now is the current.
Yeah, they are.
I thought they got rid of him or something.
No, they did.
It was CFO.
CFO was
the one that was before.
They brought back some old CFO songs, though. Like, Asuka's went back to her old
theme. Asuka went back to her old theme. One theme, and I say this not in the sense of, like, oh, my God, this music, I'm not enjoying it. Bro, I used to buy the albums back in the day.
WWF to music.
Oh my God, bro, they were awesome.
But that was all Jim Johnston.
I know, he's the greatest. But,
No. I'm talking about the Attitude songs. Remember
that was Jim Johnston.
No. I'm saying, remember how they were, the songs are so iconic.
They were all distinctive.
Exactly. They're iconic. They had an entrance. They had, the second you heard somebody's thing kick off, boom, that's it.
And
I know who that is.
Because Jim Johnston wanted to fit the characters. He would study the characters and come up with the themes. Like, Vader's theme was based off how he walked.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he said.
Yeah, but my whole thing was that when you cannot tell who the hell's coming up, even with a graphic out there.
This barely people any like, Titantrons either.
Yeah, it's and that's what I'm saying. Video, it's really. No Titantron. Yeah. That's exactly.
It's just random images.
It's just images.
They just have their logo on the screen, and that's it.
And people are like, who the hell's that? Dude, if I'm sitting all the way in the back at the opposite side of the arena and it just says like some sort of picture of like some sort of group symbol.
Yeah.
Bro, is it me or does the Judgment Day come out with different music every single time?
That's what it feels like.
Oh, man. I do not like their new theme. The other side, that song that they had.
Sick. And that was when Edge first started the group with Damian Priest, and then he brought in Rhea, and I was like, "That song was iconic." Yeah. You know, dun, 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 dun. You know, like you know,
and it fit the whole aesthetic
exactly.
Fit the whole aesthetic.
Like it was something was to it, and then all of a sudden they just start coming out with this like guitar riff, kind of like low energy so song, generic. And the crowd is just like,
"Oh, well, now they come out to rap."
Yeah, it's like,
and it's generic too.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say something.
It's like how you make hip hop generic. They managed to do it.
Yeah,
no, I'm gonna say something kind of. I've been told I've been wrong about this, and I don't care. I think I'm right. AJ Styles' song is absolute trash.
Wait, which one? Is it the current one?
Phenomenal. Yeah. It's you don't okay. want none. You don't want
it.
None.
Doesn't fit.
Bro, it
I
is
don't disagree.
I would say this: it fits. It's a good song, but it fits someone else.
Exactly.
I believe that song was originally supposed to be for James Storm. If I'm not wrong.
Okay. That makes.
Oh yeah, because he mentions being a redneck in the song. You don't want something.
It was either James Storm or someone else that came up in NXT around that time.
Yeah.
They were going to give it to them, but then AJ Styles, when they went up to him and they asked him, "Hey, so what do you want for music?
Get ready to fly."
They should. Man, if they would have had the license
when he did his appearance in TNA.
Oh, he did.
pay-per-view.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. It's past Slammiversary.
Yeah, it's the last Slammiversary.
Just give him that back since they're very much in bed.
But he said he hates it. Someone told me that. He hates it. He's like, I want something new. Screw this. But my only thing is that, like, even like Damian Priest, his song is like borderline. And I say that
I can't even remember what his song is.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
why I say it's borderline, because like I ask people sing a song, can't. Drew McIntyre's song is freaking great.
Yeah,
wait,
I think it's good. Oh, with the he should go back to the old song.
Yeah,
the broken dream.
Yes, I like that.
What is yours? Now is mine.
They played it recently when they were showing like a flashback of him.
Yeah. They did it for a promo thing when he came back from his injury. Like, I'm sorry, but Finn Balor's music, they screwed that up.
I love this demon theme.
Yeah.
When he did NXT recently, when they did the homecoming show, he came back.
They dropped his music, what's called the lights dimmed, the lights went dropped, the whole thing. I was like, that's sick, But again, it's like, I feel like as a presentation for a character that you're trying to get over, if you have crappy music, no one cares about the person if you do not care about them coming out. And I mean that in the context of, I don't listen to me. Yeah. I just listen to the crowd whenever someone's music comes up.
You know,
Selena Vega. Selena Vega. I like Selena Vega.
Her song is like,
oh man. Yeah.
Look. Ready? People walk out like, who the hell is this coming out?
That's true. You know how many live shows I've been to? They'll hear the opening riff of the song and people are like, who's coming out? Like, you see confusion. People are asking who's coming out.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard people ask that. Yeah.
And this is something where you want to get somebody over as soon as what's it called? Boom. Rhea Ripley. Bam. That's it. It's not even that crazy of a song. You know what I mean? It's
but
a good song.
They kept the intro, even though they changed her music. They'll at least keep the
intro. Exactly. Yeah. My bro. And people go nuts. Like, you need that. Like, I don't care who you are. Even if you're on the indies. And I say this. Listen, I've seen it recently before. I went to a show in last Saturday. No, it wasn't last. Oh, no. I'm sorry. It was last Friday when I came home from Atlanta. And I'm being dead serious. Like, these guys, they had custom music. But the thing is, if you're going to make custom music, right, if you're going to get it made for you, right, I had my music customly made by my good friend, Billy Spiller. Billy Spiller, who worked with artists like 50 Cent, who's playing ball rock. what's it called? Who worked with G-Unit, you know what I mean? So, like, I have a friend who made me music, you know? I've also heard, and I'm guaranteeing this is it, this kid used, like, Sono. Someone told me it's like a app that you can use to make music. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, let me look into it. And what's it called? At the second I heard it, like, I started messing around with the app. I was like, this kid used AI to make his theme song.
Oh.
So you could put in your own lyrics and everything like that. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. That's fine. But my only problem is that, dude, besides LA Knight, right? I'll say LA Knight right away. Name somebody, and I told a certain somebody this. You're going to laugh about this because you know exactly who I'm talking about. I'm not going to say his name. I told him right to his face. If you have your name in your theme music, you're screwing up. Huh. And
Why?
Because name one WWE wrestler besides LA Knight who has their music in their name in their music. Stone Cold Steve Austin, Triple H.
Oh, no.
They talk about themselves. They talk about certain things.
That's true.
But they don't mention a name.
Exactly. So this kid is literally like, just like, I'm Bob.
Wait,
blah, blah.
The Rock.
Well, yeah, I was about to say, The Rock says.
The Rock says, Rock, but he's talking. Cook, but here's the thing. The Rock is cooking. That's character. That's The Rock talking about himself.
Oh, it's not saying, I am The Rock. Rock. Yeah. Exactly. Not that.
The Rock is coming out and The Rock's going to beat you up. You know, like,
in his promos all the time, he always refers to himself in the third person.
Exactly.
Wait.
Stone Cold Austin's gonna break some glass.
Degeneration X and New World Order. Well, factions don't count because you have to say the factions.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
Like the Wolfpack. Yeah, exactly. Factions.
Four Horsemen never did it. Chris Benoit never did it. What's it called? There's so many other people. Yeah. Kurt Angle never did it. Nope. Shawn Michaels, I'm a sexy boy.
Yeah, he doesn't say his name.
I'm Shawn Michaels. You know, like, there's so many people that had iconic music that never used their names. Mm-hmm. You know, the Dudleys never used it. Like, Dudleys. Nope. You know, like, you don't need that.
You just mentioned tables and what they do.
And they come out with this stuff on their gear. Also, get gear with your name on it, guys, because I'm tired of seeing that. but what's it called?
Me. I don't see my name. I'm black, y'all.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a team of black, you know? Like, it doesn't make sense, you know? So I will say this. If you are using AI to make your music, do not tell it as you're telling a story about somebody, not Prince Atiba, Prince Atiba, Prince Atiba. Because you look like an idiot. You know what I mean? Like, oh, who's this guy? You know?
That's what we assign with your name on it.
You should, actually. But that's what I'm saying. Like, the story in your music should describe the character you are, mm-hmm. Jim Johnson. You know? Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're going to use this app, I would say do it. That's fine. It's free. I don't know how. Like, you can use, like, the 10 songs a day or something like that. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and use it. Have fun with it. But dear God, don't just throw your name up there 5,000 times.
Yeah,
and he knows who I'm talking to. I told him right to his face.
Exactly.
Yeah, so.
Tell him when the show's over.
No, yeah. I love him anyway. We talked about it. I was like, I kind of said it right to him. I was like, man, imagine having your own theme music with your name in it. That's kind of lame. He goes, wait, what? He's like, it's in my name. My name's in it all the time. I was like, I know. That's what I'm telling you. Yeah. But yeah, so. What else? So let's get to the interview portion of the show. Atiba, we know you wrestle. We wrestle each other plenty of times.
Of course. We wrestle each other back in April.
Isaac Wayne, ladies and gentlemen, one of the, I don't want to call you a light heavyweight because I've seen you wrestle guys bigger than you, but you definitely wrestle your type of person sometimes, and people put you in that static kind of like group. Mm-hmm. So tell us, Isaac, what was the idea of you getting into pro wrestling? What was the moment that you went, I want to do this, and you started looking around?
So some of my earliest memories of professional wrestling comes from, I was around the age of, I had to have been in like second grade. I had this best mm-hmm. friend, huge wrestling fan. His dad was super into it. Mm-hmm. He got his son into it. Obviously, his son got me into it. And I remember I used to go to his house all the time. We would play WWE 12 at the time. I know, pretty young. But I used to play that all the time with him. And I started getting into it through the video games.
Okay.
So playing those all the time, it just got me infatuated. And I was always about creating your character and mm-hmm. your movesets and just everything about becoming a professional wrestler. That's what I learned from the games, mm-hmm. creating your own in general. So there was one time where I went to his house. And I remember his dad had put on Ring of Honor because he was big into like the indie scene. He was like one of the niche guys.
Tell me the era of ROH that we're talking about here.
Had to have been mid-2000s.
Okay.
So it had to have been like Samoa Joe, CM Punk.
Gotcha,
like,
that era. That's a beautiful era.
Yeah, so then I started watching those matches and I was like, oh man, like this is different right here. So like I said, after playing the video games and things like that, I just got infatuated and then I started actually watching it on TV. And my first favorite was Randy Orton. Randy Orton was my guy growing up. He was also on the cover of WWE 12. That's probably why I also liked him at the time, too. So I started getting hooked on Randy Orton. And then I remember there was this one Raw that I had tuned into. And it was when Jeff Hardy did the 30-foot swanton on Randy Orton off the stage.
Oh.
And it was a wrap. Ever since I saw that, I was like, Jeff Hardy's my guy. So ever since I started watching Jeff Hardy, I remember he went to TNA. He was in mm-hmm. TNA at the time. That brought my horizon to the Austin Aries and all these other guys, Beer Money and all that. And it just went on from there. And then
AJ, Angel.
Yep. And then from there, I just explored and I kept going. And then I was just like, I feel like it's possible. It's feasible.
Okay. So then, give me the moment where you were like, all right, I can do this or I don't do this. Like you're at the precipice where it's like left or right. Give me the moment where you were like, I'm going to go reach out to these people.
The first time.
And where'd you go? What year are we talking about?
Well, I've only been wrestling for a year.
Yep.
So it's been maybe, I want to say for like the last 2 years, I've been regularly going to indie shows and like creating these connections mm-hmm. and networking with people to see where's the best place for me to fit at. Mm-hmm. I remember the first time that I went to a WWE show live. Ever since I saw that and being there in person and feeling the atmosphere and actually seeing the athletes doing what they do, that's what made me realize this is possible.
But give me a moment where you were like, I'm going to write this person. I'm going to reach out to this guy. I'm going to like, I know you started at WWX.
Right.
Is that the first place you ever started?
The first place I went to for a short time was House of Glory.
Okay,
I went to House of Glory and I was following them for a long time and I was always thinking about signing up with them. And then I remember on Instagram, they had put up an open house that they had.
Okay, so that was it.
Yeah, all so right. Then I had went to the open house and I did the whole, first of all, let me tell you a story time about the open house. Because I went over there thinking that, oh, it's a school. Let me go over there. It's like, it's going to be a little tour of the school. So I went over there with my turtleneck on. I was looking nice. I was like, all right, let me look presentable. Let me do all this for them so that they could see like, all right, he's about his business. He's professional. Little did I know it was actually going to be a workout.
Yep.
So I go over there and I'm dressed all nice and everybody's in their gym clothes and I'm standing on the line and I'm like,
I fucked up.
Yeah. What's going on here?
I messed up.
Yeah, and then I remember I walked in and Red saw me. And then he saw me. He was like, so did you know what we were doing today? And I was like, no, I didn't. I thought it was just going to be a tour of the school. And he was like, well, you're wrong. So you're going to have to figure something out. Either you're working out in that or... Go home and change. And then luckily I had a couple guys there that were like, you know what? I got an extra shirt.
I got extra shoes. Yeah, yeah.
So then I ended up changing. I did the workout. It was great. And then ultimately I was saving up money to eventually go to House of Glory. And then I went to the Coliseum. The Coliseum.
Yeah, yeah. Been over, there before. Oh, Jamaica. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's over by you, I think.
I think so.
Yeah, it's over by Jamaica. Well, yeah, it's like a little bit closer to what's it called in Woodhaven. Woodhaven and Jamaica.
Yeah. So for those of you that don't know,
Coliseum, the J Train takes you right there. Coliseum, good place, good guys there.
Yes. And they have, it's a gym and they just have a wrestling ring
yep.
there. And you could just use it whenever you
That's
want.
That's where I did my Evolve tryout.
Yeah?
Yep. Like back, like last January. Last January, I did my Evolve. No, I'm sorry. Hold on. God, no. That was 2000. 5 years ago.
All right. So I went to the Coliseum and I met a couple guys at the Coliseum. I was training with them. That's where I met Jeff the Skywalker.
Yep.
I'm sure you remember.
Jeff. Yeah, Jeff's an awesome kid.
Yeah, I had met him.
Not
there.
Kid. Jeff, you're a man. I apologize. You pay taxes. You got a job.
Does he pay taxes? Yeah,
he pays taxes.
Yeah. Well, the reason why I bring him up is because he's actually the one that had brought me over to WWX.
Yeah.
Because I had went over there and I was training with them and he was like, and I was talking to him. I was like, yeah, I'm saving up for House of Glory. And he was like, yeah, they're a little expensive. In the meantime, why don't you just come over to WWX and then you just see how everything goes there. I went over there and the rest was history.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. And you've been a staple there too. You've been a champion there before.
Yes.
You are one of the more premier athletes there. I feel like you're getting into the realm now where I go there and I see you training people now, right. Especially the day one guys, you know, like it's nice because they have like a nice environment there where they train. No one's really kind of beating the crap out of people. Some people, you know, you have to a little bit to get them up to speed, but it's like, You definitely have a mind for the psychology, and it's great seeing you in the ring. Especially, I can watch you and Jeff all day. Like, I love watching every time I go somewhere. It's like you and Jeff. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna watch this match now. Yeah. You know, like in SWA, I watch you and Jeff. What's it called? I seen you. Who was you wrestled at one time? It was Jeff. I'm sorry. It was at the Elks Lodge. Yeah,
I believe it was Superfly.
Yeah, No. There was a match that you did. It was I think it was like a triple threat or something like that.
In the Elks Lodge.
Yeah, in the Elks Lodge. I think it was the Elks Lodge. I remember you, Jeff, and somebody else. I don't know who it was. It wasn't freaking Superfly. It was somebody else. I don't know if it was the Elks Lodge, though, but that was a really good match. What's it called? It's nice seeing you. Like every time I see you, I feel like you're picking up stuff and you're evolving in the mindset of what it takes to be a professional wrestler. And it's great to see.
Thank you.
Tell me some stuff you got coming up now. Tell me some bookings, some projects you maybe have.
All right. So this Saturday coming up on September 27th, WWX has Sacrifice coming up. And I'm facing Damon Hunter for the World Wrestling Extreme Television Championship.
Nice.
So the story behind this is pretty much Wrestle Rebellion. We had that about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I had eliminated both him and his lady.
Mm-hmm.
And he was obviously upset about that. So one time we had a war zone recently where I went out there and I was talking about what happened during Wrestle Rebellion. I had gotten the opportunity to face Rhett Titus for the first time one-on-one.
That was a great match. I saw that match.
Thank you. That was a great opportunity. Yeah. It was very much a learning experience and I was like humbled. It was like, all right, great. I'm glad that I'm able to at least be in the ring with a name such as that. For a certain amount of time. So obviously Damon felt some type of way about that. He felt like it was his spot for the taking. And like I said, he was upset about me eliminating him in the first place because I took his spot. So he came out. He just basically addressed the fact that I touched his woman and, oh, you threw her out and that wasn't your place, whatever. So he feels some type of way about that. But I understand it because I was the one that threw both their asses out the Rumble. So it was all good. So I guess I'm going to take what's his now. He has the television championship. So I feel like since he feels like I took a spot from him, now I'm really going to take a spot from him.
Good. Good. That's the old-fashioned way. Like, yeah, you want what I want. I want what you want. Let's do it in the middle of the ring.
As simple as that.
Where's going to be the show?
This going to be in the World Wrestling Extreme Academy in Fordham in the Bronx.
Nice, nice, nice. We'll put up links and everything that people can catch.
Yes.
What else? So tell me, who out there in all these, give me some other companies that you're working for right now.
So at the moment, I'm doing World Wrestling Extreme. I'm doing Colossal Championship Wrestling. I'm doing Soul Folk. Wrestling Alliance. We're also doing NUW, Newberg. Mm-hmm. We're doing H&N. And as of right now, I believe those are the only companies that I've been out there doing.
Okay, good, good. I know I saw you in SWA a couple times. Yes. Good stuff over there. Yep. What'd you do with SWA? You weren't at the last one, but the one before that, what'd you guys wind up doing?
So the first time I went there was when me and Jeff had our one-on-one match.
That match I watched, yes. Yes,
that was the first time I had one over there. After that, I believe I did a couple of six-man scrambles. Yep. I believe I did a battle royal one time as well.
Snow Brawl. I remember that was Snow Brawl.
Yeah. I did the Snow Brawl. I did that.
Former Snow Brawl winner, so I'm just saying, you know, I know what Snow Brawl is.
My bad.
You know, just flex, flex, flex.
Yeah. But yes, that match that you won is the one that I was in.
Yes.
So I remember I did that, and since then I haven't really done much.
Oh, good.
I just had the match with Jeff. I did those and...
So now that you're primarily in your spot, like you live in the Bronx too, right?
Yes.
All right. So tell me, what days do you, how often do you train? Like in the ring? I'll ask that question first. How often do you see yourself going out to the ring? How often do you train there for? Like what's your mindset going in to be like, hey, what I'm going to work on today?
Yeah, I usually do 3 to 4 days a week. Mm-hmm. I try to be in there as much as possible. If a booking is not in the way or if I don't have work that day, I try to get in there as much as possible, and I wouldn't say I necessarily have a criteria or an agenda every time I go in there. Every time I go, I feel like you're only as good as your last match.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll always rewatch my last match, and whatever I feel like I could have done better or maybe looked a little sloppy or the execution wasn't done the way to my liking, that's what I'll work on that day.
Okay, good. That's good because, like, I mean, I think we've all attest, like, you know, like you got to have kind of like a mental schedule of like what you want to learn. Like,
right.
I'll sit there and watch the matches and I'll watch stuff that I don't know how to do. Like, I grew up on like a lot of old school wrestling,
right.
And then I always loved William Regal. I was tried my British style a little bit. I would watch a lot of like Johnny Saint and those guys in world wrestling, world class championship wrestling and all that other stuff. And it was always like, how should I say this the right way? It was like, I always wanted to learn what I really sucked at, you know? Like,
right.
So that's a great thing, especially when you have matches that are like, you feel like you saw your errors, you know? Because we always beat ourselves up more than anybody. Uh-huh. Like, fans are walking up to you, oh, that was a great match. You're like, you know? And it's like, it's so hard sometimes because, like, we sit there and go, oh, man, everyone's this. But then we realize it's like, hey, listen, the fans don't know everything that was the projected idea.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that was the standard that they were all on and expecting. But meanwhile, we delivered to them something that they actually enjoyed.
It's because us as the artists will always criticize our art, because you already knew, you already had this preconceived notion of what you wanted to go out there and do.
Mm-hmm.
So then when it doesn't turn out the way you maybe wanted it to, or maybe something had changed, you're kind of like...
Especially when you get the, hey, listen, this guy's not here. We got to change the whole entire thing. And that's why I'm not a big fan of like trying to like, hey, listen, you know, this is going to happen and this is going to happen. Because, I mean, we've had matches plenty of times before where I think we're just like, okay.
Let's just feel it.
Yeah, exactly.
I believe you also build that chemistry with people too.
Yeah.
The more you work with them, it's always kind of just like, I know what's in your bag. You know what's in my bag. Let's go out there and figure it out.
And the best thing, it's like when you kind of, how should I say this? You get an idea of like what you're able to do and what you're able to like really like what your niche is,
right.
And like, oh, I'm this is my stuff. Like, I'll just throw this in here, but like, you know, I could do this to anybody, you know, like it's one of those type of sets that you have. Like, I was always a big proponent. We were taught basically A, B, and C. You have an A game, B game, and C game, and then it's most of the time errors happen. Everyone knows that. But the thing is, when you're ready to, how can I take this mesh and put it into a sculpture on the table that goes, that's supposed to be there.
Right.
That is the key. And I tell people that all the time. Sometimes you don't get exactly what you want. Sometimes, you know, like, hey, this is not going to work out the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take what we have and put it to something where it's not something that depending on the role that you're playing, you know, where you're, how should I say this the right way, where it's, what's the best final product that I could put out there?
Right.
And when you do that and when you learn how to really be happy with something that you put out there, that's when you're going to sit there and really, really get eyeballs put on you. And I think you do have eyeballs put on you right now because, I mean, like I said, man, I watch you wrestle just random people and I'm like, that's skill. That's skill. That's what you need to have. The mindset. You could sit there and be like, I could do like 50 freaking, what's it called, backflips and everything like that. But the only thing is when you have an idea of like, And this is something I've been hearing a lot of people been kind of saying is like, if I go out there and I concentrate on making that guy look better than not like, you know, like you're some sort of super elevator or anything like that, but like, hey, listen, if I can go out there and make my opponent look the best he possibly can, that is what you're supposed to do. And I love that theory because I've been hearing it a lot. I don't know
where. I believe that's the best way you can have best matches. If your opponent is looking to make you as good and you're looking to make them good, you're trying to elevate each other and you're trying to one-up each other at that point.
Exactly. And then it's fun when you do that, but it's only good when it's not camaraderie, that's a weird way of saying it, when it's mutually done, when you're mutually trying to, one-up me on this one. Right. All right, I'm going to do this to you now. You know what I mean? Like, when you have that respect for each other where you could, I go out there and my whole thing is to make everyone have a time where they go, I remember not everything, but everything they do remember is rememberable. Mm. So that's something I always kind of like took into the game. You know, it's like, I want people to sit there and go home, and I want to be, not just for my own ego or anything like that, but I want people to be talking about how they felt in that car ride home.
Right.
That little kid going, wow, man, that I'll never forget his name, Steven Person. That other guy, Isaac Wayne, man, they beat the hell out of this. Oh, he took him and he did this. And when you create those moments, because again, something else that I learned out there is, people are going to remember, what do you want them to remember? The moves that you did, or do you want them to remember the person who did the moves?
Right.
And that's something that stuck with me. I forgot who told me that. I think it was Matt Bourne actually told me that. I take that back. It was Matt Bourne who actually, when we did the Johnny show, remember up in Albany?
Yes.
Because remember, I was supposed to go get the Dwayne costume, and I had the wedding, so he took me underneath his wing, gave me a lot of good stuff. And that's one thing that I feel bad. I actually forgot it was Matt that told me that, but that was like 12 years ago. So it's crazy. That's 12 years ago.
Yeah.
But
I believe that everybody, you can always do a move, and everyone can do the same move over and over again, exactly. Especially on a card. It's very hard if you're not going out there and watching the match before you to repeat the same
thing.
Exactly.
Yep. So you really have to either, one, have a deeper bag of moves that you can pull out, or two, you got to do it either way better or way different than the last person.
And remember, you were there for the drill that I did with the Around the World drill. Yes. Everyone knows my Around the World drill. I try and beat that into people where you're like...
What's the Around the World
drill? Remember the one that, what's it called, Timmy taught us? Remember where you sit there, you punch a guy in the corner, and then you go to the ropes, you go to the middle of the ropes, and then you hit him with something different. He rolls to the corner, you hit him with something different.
So instead of four corners, you do your six sides.
Exactly. It's more eight. Or eight sides. Yeah. It's eight. So, like, you're working around the ring. You're trying to, like, you know, just keep it going as long as you can go and see how many times you can go before you actually run out of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, Timmy taught me that. And Tim Arson, rest in peace. Love you to death. What's it called? He was a great guy. We lost him a couple of years ago.
He was the ECW zombie.
ECW zombie that people don't really give enough credit to, because, I mean, that was, like, a staple that people always kind of remember. And he was a king in Puerto Rico. Like, that outside of that ECW thing. And he took the ECW zombie thing and ran with it.
I know. Yeah. That one thing that he did that one day got him paid on the Indies for like
forever. The remainder of his career. Was everywhere with that. He was in Massachusetts and Chicago and in Florida and Georgia and North Carolina. He was awesome. He was just wrestling everywhere as the ECW zombie. Mm-hmm. And it was.
Would have random kids come up wanting to take pictures.
Pictures with him. And he would just start chasing people. Great.
It's great.
Yeah. Timmy was a great guy. I got to work. Remember, I don't know if you remember the time I worked Chris and Timmy before he did the
which Chris
Minion.
Oh wait, yeah, Triple Threat.
Yeah, Triple Threat. I won that match, and I was just like, okay, I'm all right, Timmy. Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. And Timmy took me under his wing and showed me a whole bunch of stuff. So, all right, time for our favorite part of the episode. Whenever we have somebody on for the first time, we give them a little something to remember us by. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we do not sell these. We only give them out to guests when they show up for the first time on their episode. Ladies and gentlemen, your very own nerd badge to Mr. Isaac Wayne.
I'm honored.
There we go.
Thank you for coming. Yeah, buddy.
Thank you so much.
Put it up somewhere nice.
Yeah, it's a nice little... Sure. Don't iron it. It's mine a hot water one. All you got to do is put like a freaking...
Kind of looks like a coaster.
I know, right? It could be if you want. Screw it.
What's shot glass, yeah.
Yeah, people put on jackets. People put on backpacks. Oh, yeah, people put it whatever it is. So,
mine's on my mirror right now.
Oh, good. Yeah, I only give them out to people when they come on the show. So it's like it's a very rare commodity in case this ever does kick off somewhere.
I genuinely appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Anything you want to do? Anything you got coming up?
I don't have nothing coming up. Oh, I'm performing in the Bronx Zoo this weekend.
What are you doing, drums? Or?
Yeah, playing drums, African drums.
Nice.
They're having a parade there in the zoo.
Oh, what is it for?
I don't even know.
You're just doing it?
Yeah. Just showing with a bunch of puppets, animal puppets.
You just got booked. You were like, all right.
Let's go. No, I do it like almost every few times, almost every year, because I did it last year a few times. Yep. We'll do either a parade or we'll do like an actual show on a stage, like by where the bears are, like something called the bear tent.
What are the parades usually for?
I don't even know. Like one time there was one for Halloween that they did, but this one's like a little bit earlier. I don't even know. It's just a bunch of people coming out with puppets for the kids and stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, they do like a whole act and everything.
One of the guys
there,
he used to work with Jim Henson. Really? I spotted a puppet and I was like, that looks like a Jim Henson style. The way it worked.
Yeah, because they had like the multi levers and everything like that.
And then he told me, he's like, yeah, he used to work with him back in the day.
Nice.
It was like he was controlling like a giant ostrich or something like that. That was like,
oh, that's crazy then, because those things take like two people to operate or three people to operate.
He was just doing it with just one.
How many years have you been playing drums for now?
Ooh, since 1996.
Yeah, he's been playing. That was his part of his gimmick. He's come out with the drum.
Yeah, he's come out with the drum to the ring when I first came out. Someone, you know what? Eric Adams gave me that idea. Not the mayor. We had a wrestler named Eric Adams.
Eric Adams, who I just actually saw down in Atlanta.
He said, you know, Piper used to play the bagpipes to the ring, so you play your drums. So that's when I started doing it.
Yeah.
Then I stopped because I hated bringing my drum with my gear. I was like, that's just an extra thing to carry on.
Yeah, that's how he felt today with his championships. He was like,
I'm not carrying those things today. I'm sorry. I have a bag full of championships and they're heavy as hell.
Plus, all what I did was just rip off someone's theme music.
That's a good problem to have, though.
Yeah, when you have too many belts.
That's a good problem to have.
All right. So what do you got coming up?
So I have a Sacrifice coming up on Saturday where I fight Damon Hunter. I believe H&N is still running on October 4th.
I don't know, actually. I think he put out a thing saying that he had to push it back because something happened. I'm not too sure, but yeah, that's supposed to be next week.
Wait, since you're in the Bronx, if I'm off early, I might be able to come over and watch y'all.
Please do.
I'm
in the Bronx,
especially, especially our fans listening. Especially our fans listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and Amazon Music, if you're listening right now. Yes, we put up the last episode from, our good friend Taryn, who came up here from... Victory for the Voiceless for the Animals, our last episode, but that was kind of like I had to put that one out there because there was so much information about the animals and everything like that. I'm making a new YouTube. It's probably going to be up in between the, you know, after our season finale because I'm trying to get a hold of these YouTube people and it's a pain in the neck. Mm-hmm. What's it called? I have Wrestling and Recovery. Oh, what else you got? I'm sorry. I don't want
to. As of right now, that's it.
I got what's it called? Wrestling and Recovery coming up this Saturday. There's going to be two shows. I will not be able to make the first show at 2:00, and then there's one at the at 5:00. It's going to be at the Edison Fall Family Street Fair. You can find it on Facebook, Wrestling and Recovery, as in the letter N. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that I have coming up, but I'm not too sure if it's even happening, unfortunately, because you know things change in the world of professional wrestling. HNN Wrestling, Here and Now Wrestling, this is supposed to be next week on the 4th. I might be doing what's it called? PWX. Wait, I know
this man is booked and busy.
I know. I have bad signal. I can't get my photos up and everything. I don't know what's going on, but yeah, I'll have all the stuff up here as I ramble on aimlessly about all my promotions that I work for. What's it called? SWA is coming up too.
Yes, they have Back for the Dead.
Back from the Dead. Yeah. What's it called? That's coming up soon. We're probably going to shoot next week because it's Mike's award for winning the game show episode. So we got to do an episode. Then we're going to do the final episode, which is going to be a mix. It's usually like our nice little 3-hour episode. Not here. We just come in the studio. We shoot. We say goodbye for the season. We come back in January, but it's on YouTube. I'm definitely putting that one up. I'm going to be at Comic-Con. We're going to be shooting. It's weird because now I have to kind of modify my costume because I just realized I can't walk around because, you know, wait, I showed you.
It's all over.
Huh? Don't say. So, yeah. So, I have the costume and I have to modify it so that I can.
Now, you know what? Take your phone. Show the screen. Yeah,
No. I like to surprise people with my with my costumes and everything like that. So, it's like under the covers, you know? So. So ladies and gentlemen, for Atiba and Isaac, thank you for tuning in. Ladies and gentlemen, episode 15 is in the bank. We love you so much for listening. Please follow on every other website that you can. We are all over the place. Just Google us, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. It's been very busy, so I have not been able to put my normal jovial videos and everything like that. So I apologize. We love you. We'll see you guys next time. Ladies and gentlemen, we did it. It's done. Check the gate. We're done. Wrap it. I'm going home. I got to go get food. I'm tired. I've been out all day.
So what's the rest of the costume look like? What does the uniform part of the angel costume look like?